We generally go for a little stroll on Sunday evenings to see what Peter Topglass has caught in his traps.
Traps?
Well, Peter's by way of being an ornithologist. He's got traps for the birds at various places around the estate. It's quite exciting. Look, going round with him, seeing what he's caught.
That's horrible. Poor little bird.
For goodness sake, Dora, Topglass. You heard what Michael said. He's an ornithologist. He studies birds. He doesn't kill them.
But they're not like mouse traps. Simply little cages. The birds aren't harmed at all. He photographs them and rings them.
Rings them?
No, he just puts a little ring around the leg. It's perfectly painless. We'd love to go, Mike.
Well, everyone else has gone off to practice matricals. But Toby said he might come along. He's fascinated by it all.
Take care where you put your feet, Mrs. Greenfield. There's some very nasty brambles along the path.
If you could only find something more sensible to put on your feet than those sandals, Dora.
They're all I've got.
I can't wait to find out what's in the traps. I went to have a look round the other evening. It was a nuthatch.
How is it you're so interested in birds, Toby? I thought you always lived in a town.
Oh, it's always been a kind of hobby. Birds and wildflowers. I've got books and tapes of birds on, but this is the first time that I've had a chance to get to grips with the real thing.
I'm glad you enjoy yourself.
What's that dreadful scent you've got on? Hardly the thing for a woodland walk, is it?
It's not a perfume. It's citronella. Mrs. Mark said it would help keep off the midges.
Makes you smell like a Turkish brothel.
I didn't know you'd ever been in one. Peter, what's that thing that keeps going pink, pink, pink?
It's a chaffinch. He's probably warning everyone that we're coming.
Really? I didn't know birds could do things like that. I thought they just, well, you know, sang.
Oh, no. Every sound a bird makes is for a purpose. Warning noises, courtship, marking out their territory.
Do you think that all the creatures feel pain like we do? When we were out this morning, there was this black and white bird.
They're called magpies, Dora.
And it had a frog in its beak. Do you think that frog knew what was happening? Was it suffering, poor thing?
Who can say? But for myself, I believe that Shakespeare, that the poor beetle that we tread upon in corporal sufferance, feels a pang as great as when a giant dies.
Why can't the animals all be good to one another and live in peace?
Why can't humans?
Because they're not made that way, I suppose.
I don't know anything about birds, anyway. I've never even heard a cuckoo.
But you must have been to the country sometimes. I mean, what about when you were a child?
We always took our holidays in Bognor Regis. I can't remember much about my childhood, actually. I've heard cuckoo clocks, of course.
Get me to the traps now. Do you see, Dora?
They're like little wire birdhouses. There were lots of birds in them.
They must be sparrows and tits, by the look of it.
Oh, but look, there's a goldcrest. You see, Doris? The little chap with red and yellow stripes on his head.
He's beautiful. But why do they ever go into the cages?
For food. I lay down some nuts and a bit of bread as bait, and some birds will even enter an unbaited trap out of sheer curiosity.
Again, like human beings.
Michael, could you take a photograph of the goldcrest while I'm holding it?
Of course.
Come on, little chap.
Thank you, Michael. Now we'll put a ring on it.
What are you doing? You mustn't bite him.
Oh, he's just closing the ring with his teeth, Dora.
Oh, I just couldn't bear it. Seeing his teeth so close to that poor little foot.
But doesn't it harm the birds, being cooped up and then handled like that?
Mark Stratford was saying last night that you cause more distress to a bird by trapping and ringing it than you do by shooting it.
Is it true, do you think?
No idea. I think Mark was just trying to get back at Peter for objecting to his wanting to kill off the squirrels and the wood pigeons because they do so much damage.
But you couldn't kill a poor little squirrel. It'd be... Listen. It's a cuckoo. Why are you laughing?
No, it wasn't a real cuckoo. It's only Peter, I'm afraid, Dora.
And I thought it was the real thing. What a shame.
It's just a little cuckoo warbler, Dora.
Isn't good as a real thing.
How do you know? You've never heard one.
Well, nothing's as good as a real thing. It's odd, but even a perfect imitation, once you know it's an imitation, ceases to give pleasure. I remember Kant says, how disappointed your guests are when they discover the after-dinner nightingale is a small boy posted in the grove.
A case of the natural attractiveness of truth.
Oh, you're full of pious remarks this evening, Michael. Practicing for your sermon tomorrow?
It isn't me tomorrow. Thank heavens it's James. I'm next week.
I suppose the moral of it all is don't get found out. Don't you think, Toby?
Yes, I suppose so.
Peter, I wonder if you'd mind very much taking a photograph of Dora.
Oh.
It's such a beautiful setting.
And that dress would look wonderful against the trees. Look, perhaps we could sit you down on that mossy stone over there.
Paul doesn't know what he's let himself in for, Toby. Once Peter gets hold of the subject, he'll be at it for hours. Why don't we stroll on back towards the house?
Must be wonderful, having this woodland all to yourself.
I just hope we're not beginning to take it for granted. There's an avenue a little further on where you can see nightjars sometimes. Have you ever seen a nightjar?
No, but I'd love to. Could you show me?
We could go along there one evening next week. Very strange creatures. Hardly like birds at all. They make one believe in witches.
Listen.
It's Father Joyce's madrigal group. They're down by the lake.
Oh, yes. Cafe asked me if I'd like to go.
The sound carries so wonderfully over the water.
I can't make out the words, though.
I know them by heart. The silver swan that living had no note. When death approached, unlocked her silent throat. Leaning her breast against the reedy shore, she sang her first and last.
That's all right. Well, they did come as a bit of a shock. But they were strangely beautiful in their way.
And what are the marks of innocence? Candor, a beautiful word. Truthfulness, simplicity, a quite involuntary bearing of wit.
I can't follow it at all.
The image that occurs to me here is
it's all too abstract.
The image...
It just makes me feel inferior. Rather like this place.
What would be the value?
I feel as if I'm being judged by them all. And I'm Miss London. I miss drinks with friends and the smell of cigarettes. And when I do go back there, it will have to be with Paul. To be locked away in his flat. And I just don't see myself there anymore.
And that we shall have her prayer. And now, my friends, let us pray.
Oh, what did you think of our service, Dora? The first one you've attended, isn't it?
Oh, I liked it.
It's quite simple, but it suits us. It's difficult for a lay community where nothing's ordained. It all has to be invented as you go along.
You've tried different things?
Oh, yes. At first, everyone said the whole office privately each day, but it was too much of a strain.
Yes, I suppose it would be. Oh, it's so hot. It makes me want to swim. Not that I can swim, but I would if I could. I expect you can.
I never go into the water. I can swim, but not at all well. And I don't like it. I think I must be afraid of the water. I often dream about drowning.
You can't really want to go into that place. To shut yourself up in a convent when you're so young and beautiful. I'm sorry, this is very rude of me, I realize that. But I just can't bear to think of you in there.
There are things one doesn't choose. I don't mean they're forced on one, but one doesn't choose them. And these are often the best things. But here's your husband coming. I really must go.
I couldn't think where you'd got to.
I wish you'd leave me alone sometimes. I was having an interesting conversation with Catherine.
I don't think what you and Catherine could possibly have to say to each other.
Why shouldn't I talk to her? Do you think I'm not worthy or something?
Well, I didn't say so. But if you want my view,
I think Catherine is everything a woman should be. Lovely, gentle, modest, and chaste.
You don't respect me.
Of course I don't respect you. Have I any reason to? I'm in love with you, unfortunately. That's all.
It's unfortunate for me, too.
Stop it. For goodness sake, stop it. You have no business here, that's your trouble.
James, I'm going to run into Swindon. I'm collecting the cultivator.
It's a bit late in the day, isn't it? The shop will be shut, surely.
I gave them a ring. I can pick it up any time before 7.
You're going in the lorry, I take it.
I wish I could. But it's laid up with some undiagnosable complaint, and Nick hasn't yet condescended to cast his eyes over it. I can just about get the cultivator and the Land Rover.
Why don't you take Toby with you? It would mean him knocking off half an hour early, but there's no harm in that. The boy deserves a bit of a break. Let him see a bit of the countryside.
Good idea. I'll go and get him.
I still wish you weren't going to bring that ghastly mechanical contraption into our little Garden of Eden. There's nothing wrong with spades and forks. It's an end of innocence.
Certainly very pretty. Shiny black and red. And I love the yellow wheels.
Well, they won't stay that way for long. But the great advantage of it being so light is that everyone will be able to use it, particularly the women.
You mean women like Dora Greenfield?
Well, I wasn't really thinking of her.
No, she'll be gone in a week or two when Paul finishes the work he's doing on the Abbey manuscripts. And Catherine will be gone too. There's more Mrs. Mark. I was hoping might be able to use it. Is it tightly secured, do you think? Well, I don't see how we can get it any tighter.
It won't shift about. Then we'd better be setting off back to Imber. It was a nice looking country pub the other side of Triplet. We might stop off there for a sandwich.
It doesn't sound much like a country pub, does it?
I doubt whether such things really exist anymore. Why don't you sit at the table over there by the window? We can keep an eye on the Land Rover and, what will you have? I feel practically illegal to be here.
Well, I am 18.
Well, just. Good enough. Say, what will you have? Something soft, perhaps?
Oh, no, I'd like to drink whatever the locals drink around here. What do you think that is?
I suppose it's West Country cider. I see they have it on draft. It's rather strong, though. Would you like to try it?
Love to.
Right. You sit there, and I'll get the drinks and sandwiches.
They're certainly pretty generous with their sandwiches. And you're right about the cider. But this can't really be the West Country, can it? I always thought the Swindon was just outside London. But perhaps I'm mixing it up with Slough.
I always think of this part of the world as the beginning of the West. I come from around here, after all. Different from you, growing up in London.
Oh, I feel that I've missed a lot. I wish that at least I'd been away to boarding school.
What do you want to do after you leave Oxford?
No idea. I'll be some sort of engineer, I suppose, but I really don't know what I want to do. I don't have any great desire to go abroad. Really, you know, I'd like to do something like what you do.
I don't do anything, Tony. I'm just a universal amateur.
But you're not. You're a kind of spiritual leader.
Oh, no.
I mean, you've made something marvelous at Imber. I'd love to be able to do that. I mean, I couldn't really do what you've done, but I'd love to be a part of something like that, something sort of pure and out of the modern world.
Well,
I can't finish this, I'm afraid. It's nice, but it's really too strong.
Well, let me get you something else.
No, thank you. I don't want anything. Would you like to finish it?
If you're really sure.
Yeah.
Thanks, Toby. I'd better be off soon.
Yes.
Don't you? I might just manage another pint before we go. And there's some chocolate over at the bar. I'll get you some.
Everything looks so different at night. The headlights make the grass so much greener and the buildings we pass. Like part of a stage set. Did you see that? It was a cat, wasn't it? Its eyes really shone out as it looked at the car, a kind of green flash.
Well, why is that? Do you know, like you're a scientist, why don't humans' eyes glow like that?
Are you sure they don't?
Well, not as far as I know. Never seen anyone's eyes glow like that. Well, not like that cat.
I believe it's something about special cells behind the eyes.
but I'm still not completely sure that our eyes mightn't glow too if we really faced into the headlights. Why don't we try it? I'll get out and come walking towards you, and you'll see what my eyes look like.
You really are a scientist, Davy. But let's wait till we get back,
shall we?
Then you can make your experiments.
Right, sir. Oh, this side is maybe rather sleepy.
We'll go to sleep then.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. I really got it. Sleepy, it's all bad.
And he's fallen asleep? Just like a child, his head on my shoulder, his knee against my thigh. How can I make this moment of joy last forever? Because his sweetness always lingers with me.
Concentrate on what I'm doing. Otherwise, I shall be asleep as well.
Wake up, Toby.
Oh, good heavens. I had no idea I'd been asleep. I'm so sorry.
No. Oh, where are we?
We're just away outside the lodge gates.
Oh, look, could we do that thing with the headlights now? Do you mind?
Of course not. It's all in the cause of science.
You turn the lights up and I'll come walking down the road towards you, looking straight into the...
He looks as though he's walking in his sleep, his eyes wide open and unblinking. Well, they don't gleam or glow, but I can see them so clearly. He looks terrifyingly beautiful.
Well, what was the result? Did you... You kissed me.
I'm sorry, Toby.
That was an oversight.
But why?
I'm sorry. Toby, shut the door. I'll run you to the lodge.
Hello, you two.
Oh.
What's the game, stopping such a long way from the gates? What are you up
to? Good evening, Nick.
I made a mistake. Perhaps you could see Toby.
Well, I'll
be off now. Cheerio, Toby.
Our lunchtime reading today is taken from The Revelation of Divine Love by Julian of Norwich. There is a deed which on the last day shall be performed by the Holy Trinity, but the time when that deed shall be done and the manner of it is unknown to all those that dwell under Christ. And shall remain so.
Did Nick see us?
And the Lord,
how long had he been standing there? And if he did see me give Toby that kiss, what would he have felt? Would he have thought I betrayed him? That I was being unfaithful? That's crazy. It was all over years ago. And time has not stood still. Why should he feel anything of the kind? What am I going to say to Toby? I can hardly pretend it didn't happen. I suppose he thinks queers are contemptible and disgusting. He came to Imber as if it were a retreat, a religious house looking for inspiration and an example. And has all that been ruined, irretrievably spoilt, because I drank too much cider and gave way to a harmless impulse of affection? Is that what happened? Our activities are like ships, which we watch setting out to sea, not knowing when or with what cargo they will return to port.
And man in earth that dieth out of faith of Holy Church. That is to say, they that be heathen men.
Catherine reads it so simply. And yet with such deep feeling.
And so dieth out of charity.
She said that this was the book that decided her to become a nun.
as Holy Church teaches me.
I will have to talk to Toby.
All this so standard.
I can hardly do it in the office.
It's impossible that all manner.
I told him that I'd taken to the wood with the nightjars on.
Our Lord showed in the same time.
Would that be the best plan? I have no other.
Do you know anything about nightjars, Toby?
No, nothing.
It really is a very unusual bird. People used to believe that they fed on the milk of goats. That's why its Latin name is Caprimulgus, mulgus, goat sucker.
I see.
It only flies in twilight. It has a very odd flight. Fast and rather irregular and bat-like.
Can you hear it, Teddy?
That whirring noise. That's a nightjar.
It doesn't sound like a bird at all.
They let you come quite close to them. They're not frightened of people.
Oh, do you hear that?
They make that noise with their wings. They clap them together over their backs.
There seem to be more than one of them. But it's getting too dark to see them properly. I can see why you said they're more like bats.
Toby, about what happened yesterday. I did something foolish and wrong. And something, I assure you, that I am not at all in the habit of doing. I was almost as surprised as you were. I don't want to make a drama about this. I don't want to say forget it, because we can't do that. But I suggest that we set it aside and don't brood on it or give it an exaggerated importance. Insofar as it was a wrong action, that concerns me, not you. I just wanted, well, to apologize to you, to ask you to bury the matter. I know I needn't appeal to your discretion, but I was anxious in case you should be worrying about it. I'm deeply sorry that you've been upset and bothered in this way, and I hope you'll make a real effort not to let this spoil your time at Imber.
Of course, it's all right. It was good of you to talk to me like this. I quite understand. As far as I'm concerned, I'll forget about it completely.
Thank you, Toby. That's very generous of you. Will you shake my hand?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'll shake your hand.
Good morning, Toby. How goes the cultivator? I hear you've been trying your hand.
Oh, it's more tricky than it looks, Mrs. Mark. I'm afraid I made rather a hash of it. Patchway said I'd be of more use in the packing shed, but there doesn't seem to be anybody around at the moment.
Well, there's always the garden, Toby. Always work to be done there.
Yes, I know that. But I was wondering...
Yes, Toby?
Is there any way one can get into the Abbey?
Into the Abbey? Of course not. It's a closed order. No one is ever allowed in there. Why do you ask?
It's just that I need to be alone by myself for a while.
There's nothing troubling you, is there, Toby? If there is, perhaps you...
Oh, no. It's not like that, Mrs. Mark. Nothing specific, if you know what I mean.
Then perhaps you should go to the chapel, Toby. That is always open, day and night.
I'm not quite sure that's what I had in mind, but thanks all the same.
Right.
So still. So dark. What kind of life do the nuns really lead there? On the other side of the chapel wall. There's supposed to be one of them always at prayer there. But I can't hear a sound. It's like being at the bottom of a lake. The silence of another world. What would I find if I opened that little door in that grill and walked through? A solitary nun. Perhaps the whole community sitting there in utter silence. That must mean that it's time for one of the services. Is Michael really telling me the truth? Or does he often go around kissing boys? And does this give me some kind of power over him? Or is it something about me? After all, I don't really know very much about girls. And yet I'm certain I would be attracted if the right one came along. Someone like Dora Greenfield. The way she smiled at me when we were all coming down on the train.
It's almost as if... And now they're all assembled together on the other side of the wall. So many women. So close. No longer taboo, no longer forbidden. So why don't I get closer still? Climb the other wall into the enclosure itself. Now that everything is so muddled, surely everything is permitted.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I believe you must be Toby. Have I guessed right?
Yes.
I thought so. Although we never meet those from the other side, we seem to know each one of you as though you were our dearest friends. I expect our little cemetery gave you quite a surprise.
Yes, it did.
It's so cozy and enclosed. Rather like a dormitory, I sometimes think. It's nice to know that one will sleep here oneself one day.
Yes, it's very beautiful.
But let us leave the dear sisters in peace now. Did you come in through the gate?
No, I thought the gate would be locked. I climbed over the wall.
Oh, did you now? It's quite dangerous. But I expect you enjoyed your climb. Young boys are forever climbing things.
I'm sorry. I know I oughtn't to have come in.
Oh, don't be worrying yourself. They say curiosity killed the cat. I never believed that when I was your age. Besides, we have a special rule which says that children can sometimes come into the enclosure.
But I'm not a child. I'm 18. And it wasn't just curiosity. I wanted...
What did you want, Toby?
I wanted to be by myself, where I could think.
And what was it you wanted to think about?
Oh, I couldn't tell you that.
Why don't you try, Toby? Our lives may be dedicated to God, but we're not entirely ignorant of the things of the world.
Well, I wanted... I wanted to try to think about what it was like to fall in love. I always used to imagine it was something that would happen in the future, but now I'm not so sure.
You mean you are in love?
Oh, no. At least not with anyone in particular. I'm sorry, I'm not putting this very well. But, you see, I don't quite know what it is I'm feeling.
If it is time for you to find love, God will guide you to it. And although you say you're not a child, in God's eyes, we are all children.
Yes. Well, thank you. I think it's time I was getting back to...
To the real world. Eh? Off you go. But don't bother to climb the wall. Go by the wicked gate. We never bother to lock it. Well, Toby... Did you find what you were looking for?
Oh, I don't know, Mrs. Mark. I'm not certain.
Well, there won't be much time for the affairs of the spirit this afternoon, I'm afraid. You'll be wanted in the packing shed. There's a delivery that has to go off to Cirencester.
I'll be there. But by the way, you don't happen to know where Mrs. Greenfield is just now, do you?
Mrs. Greenfield? Haven't you heard? She's left us. She's gone off back to London. Oh, I can't tell you how wonderful it is to be back in London. The crowd, the smells, everything's grimy and needs a new coat of paint. And the noise, there's so much glorious noise. It really does me good.
No wonder after that ghastly convent. Let me look at you. You're paler and thinner.
Oh, that's because there's nothing to drink at Imber. Get me a glass of something, will you know?
A glass of what?
Anything, so long as it's alcoholic. I'm going to have a bath.
You do that small thing, I'll bring you your drink into the bathroom.
Oh, this is simply lovely.
I suppose the sybaritic practice of bathing is forbidden at the convent?
The immersion heat is only turned on twice a week. And there's a bath list pinned to the notice board saying who can have one at what time. And you're only allowed a quarter of an hour.
Perfectly grisly. You ready for your drink?
Yes, please.
Now, tell me all about it.
I'm only up here for the day. I just felt the need for a change.
Do they know you've gone?
I didn't actually tell anyone. I just left a note.
Well, what's life like at the convent? Is it hell?
It's just that I feel as if I'm being watched all the time. And they're always asking me if I want to have a chat with one of the nuns. They want to know if my marriage is back on track.
And is it? How is dear old Paul?
He's fine. Well, actually, you've been beastly to me for the past 2 days, but I expect that's my fault.
There you go again. Why should everything always be your fault? The trouble with Paul is that he's jealous of your creative powers. As he can't create anything himself, he's determined you shan't.
Don't be silly. I don't have any creative powers.
What about your painting?
I haven't done anything for months.
Well, you should.
Could you hold my glass for a minute and pass the soap?
Certainly.
Thanks.
How about all those religious people? You mustn't let them give you a bad conscience. People like that adore having a sense of sin and living in an atmosphere of continual self-abasement. You must be a great catch, a penitent wife and so forth, but don't give in to them. Never forget, my darling, that what they believe just isn't true.
You're drinking my drink.
Oh, sorry, I've got carried away. Yeah.
Thanks. There is something quite decent about them, all the same.
Well, very nice, but they're thoroughly misguided. There is no God. And there is no judgment, except the judgment that each one of us makes for himself, and that is a private matter. Sometimes, of course, one has to interfere with people to stop them doing things one dislikes. But I can't stand complacent swine who go about judging other people and making them feel cheap. If they want to wallow in a sense of unworthiness, let them. And when they interfere with their neighbours, one ought positively to fight them.
I've never heard you sound so passionate. Pass me the towel, will you, there, dear?
I suppose I am a bit worked up. There you are.
Thanks.
I just can't bear to think of all those people making you feel a miserable sinner, when in fact it's hardly your fault at all. And the idea of old Paul playing the aggrieved and virtuous spouse makes me want to vomit.
Can I have another sip of my drink?
Yeah. I'll get you another one in a minute. You don't think that the Abbey might have any news value? Posse communities are always good for a feature. Shall I come and give in by the once over?
No! You mustn't, no! You really mustn't. They'd be dreadfully upset if anyone came to write them up. They really are nice, no?
If you say so. Now, get dressed and I'll make you another drink. And I've got a new LP you must hear. You simply won't be able to resist it.
Oh, I love that.
I don't imagine they're going for dancing much at your convent. Now, dearest creature, I have to go and get the only thing that's missing, which is a bottle of wine.
Oh.
I'll pop round to the off license. Here, let me freshen up your gin. I hope you're long. You can amuse yourself by getting things out of the fridge. Back in a minute.
Tommy, stuff this. I say, pickled cucumber.
Hello, is that 3-4761? Hello? Can I speak to Mr. Spence? This is Paul Greenfield. Is my wife there? Dora? Dora, is that you? Dora?
I can't stay here. I've got to get away. Taxi! Taxi!
Dora? Dora, what's going on?
Call them up.
Oh, my God, what did you say to him?
I didn't say anything. I put the receiver down.
Is he on his way here?
No, he was ringing from the country. I could hear a bird singing at the other end, and I didn't reply, so he can't know.
But what about our lunch?
I don't feel like it anymore. Please forgive me, Noel.
I thought you were a fighter.
I can't fight. I never could tell the difference between right and wrong anyway. I'm sorry to rush away, but I must. I enjoyed our dance.
Me too. All right, Dora, in you get. But don't forget, what these people believe isn't true.
All right. I won't.
Don't forget, Dora, no God. No God.
Stay out of one of your nocturnal rambles, Toby. Why don't you take Murphy with you?
No, I'm going over to the hall. It's the Buck evening.
Ah, the gramophone recital. Where they all sit reverently about, trying hard to give the impression that they appreciate great music, hmm? Oh, they're a worthy bunch with their pure thoughts and their clean living and their sermons every Sunday. I'll give you a sermon one day, Toby. They've never asked me to spout, so it'll have to be a private one.
I'd better be off.
Quite right. Mustn't keep Johann Sebastian waiting.
Thanks very much. Drop me here, will you? I'll walk the last bit up to the hall.
Right, you are.
Keep the change.
Oh, thank you, miss.
Good night.
Good night.
I've forgotten. It's the gramophone evening. The Bach recital. Paul will be bound to be there with them. Yes, there they all are. Mark Strafford looking as if he's playing at being Moses with Mrs. Mark sitting at his feet. Catherine looking intensely at Michael Mead as if she weren't really hearing the music at all. And Michael Mead sitting with his head in his hands. Paul's looking rather fierce. Feeling the tape of pace, swinging his hand to and fro. And Toby, looking out of the window. I think he's seen me. I'd better get away.
Mrs. Greenfield?
Hmm?
I thought it must be you.
The music isn't over yet, is it?
Oh, no. No, they're good for another 3/4 of an hour.
Did he like the music?
Not terribly, actually. I was going to come out anyway, and then I saw you from the window.
Did you tell them I was back?
Oh, no. I didn't think they'd like me talking between movements. I just slipped out. Shall we walk along a bit?
Yes, let's. It's a lovely night.
You've been in London. Mrs. Mark said you'd gone off and left us.
I just slipped away for the day. I wanted a change of scenery.
Oh. Did you go anywhere interesting?
I went to see an old friend, and then I went to the National Gallery. I used to do a bit of painting myself. I always feel at home there. I seem to know all the pictures as well as I do my own face. I feel almost as if they belong to me.
And do you have any particular favourites?
Yes. I love the Piero della Francesca, where Christ is being baptized. Those wonderful angels. And the man taking his shirt off. And I like the Crivelli, with all the gills and the fruit. And there's a Gainsborough. It's of his daughters, walking through a wood, hand in hand. And they're reaching out for a butterfly. I almost wanted to fall down on my knees in front of it and kiss it.
What made you want to do that?
I can't really explain it. I just felt so grateful for something real, something kindly and good. I felt encouraged and loved.
Here. This is the place.
What place?
I've swum here once or twice. and been down to the bottom of the lake. Nobody comes here but me.
It's nice. So still and rather spooky in the moonlight. Tell me something, Toby.
What?
Oh, I didn't mean anything in particular. Just tell me something. Anything.
Oh, I'll tell you something very strange.
Go on.
There's something down there, in the lake. I think it's a huge bell.
What?
Yes, I found it when I was swimming underwater. And there's an old stone ramp just over there that goes down into the lake. I followed it right to the bottom, and then I found this huge shape half buried in the mud. I couldn't believe it at first. But I came back a second time. I'm certain that it's a bell.
You saw it. You touched it.
Well, it's too dark down there to actually see anything. But I touched it. I felt it all over.
Did it have carvings on it?
Carvings? Well, it was sort of fretted and worked on the outside. But that might have been anything. Why did you ask that?
Good God!
What is it?
Have you told anyone else?
No, I don't know why, but I thought I'd keep it a secret until I had another look at it.
Now, look, Toby, don't tell anyone. Let it be our secret now.
All right. I won't say a word. I suppose it is very odd, isn't it? I don't know why I wasn't more thrilled about it. Anyway, I might be wrong. Why are you so excited about it?
I'm sure you're not wrong, Toby. You see, there's a story about the bell.
A story about the bell?
Yes. In the Middle Ages, there was a nun who had a lover. He used to climb over the abbey wall to be with her. And then one night, he fell and broke his neck. When the body was found, there was a terrible fuss, of course, and the abbess called upon the guilty nun to confess, but, of course, she didn't. And then the bishop came down, and he also demanded that she should confess. She still didn't come forward, and he put a curse on the abbey.
And what happened next?
The great bell flew down out of the tower and plunged into the lake.
And then what became of the nun?
She drowned herself.
But something like that couldn't possibly be true.
Well, no, it couldn't. But Paul said there's usually some truth hidden behind stories like that. The bell probably got thrown into the water somehow or other, and there it still is. If it really is the medieval bell you found, it could be very important for art and history and so on. Could we pull it out?
You mean you and me? We couldn't possibly manage it. It's a huge thing. It must weigh a tremendous amount, and it's sunk in the mud.
You said it was only half sunk. You're an engineer. Couldn't we get it out with a pulley or something?
We could rig up a pulley, I suppose. And we could use the tractor. But what exactly is it you want to do?
I don't know yet. Surprise everybody. Make a miracle happen.
But if it's so important, oughtn't we to tell the others?
They'll know soon enough. And we wouldn't be doing any harm. Suppose we were to substitute the old bell for the new one somehow. When the new bell arrives next week, they're going to have it veiled and then unveil it when it gets to the abbey gate. Think of the sensation when they take the veil off and find the medieval bell underneath. It would be wonderful, like a real miracle. The sort of thing that makes people go on pilgrimages.
But it would be just a trick. And besides, the old bell may be broken and damaged. And anyway, it's too difficult.
Nothing is too difficult. I feel that this was meant for us, Toby, for you and me. I should like to shake everybody up a bit. They'd get a colossal surprise. And then they'd be pleased at having the bell. It would be like an unexpected present.
You don't think that it might be somehow in bad taste?
When something's fantastic enough and marvelous enough, it can't be in bad taste. In the end, it will give everyone a lift. Are you game, Toby?
It really is the most extraordinary idea. But I'm sure we could never manage it.
With an engineer to help me, I can do anything. Noel told me to fight, and I will fight. in their holy community, I will play this.
The chief requirement of the good life is that one should have some conception of one's capacities. One must understand oneself sufficiently to know what is the next thing. One must study carefully how best to use such a strength as one has. Let me use the image of the bell. The bell is subject to the force of gravity. The swing that takes it down must also take it up. So, we too must learn to understand the mechanism of our spiritual energy and find out where for us are the hiding places of our strength. It is the positive thing that saves. We must work from inside outwards through our strength. And by understanding and using exactly what energy we have, acquire more. This is the struggle. Pleasing surely in the sight of God to become more fully and deeply the person that are. And by exploring and hallowing every corner of our being to bring into existence that one and perfect individual. But God, in creating us, entrusted to our care.
An excellent address, if I may say so, Michael, and so appropriate to the purpose of our little community. Self-understanding is really what a place like Inda is here to foster.
Thank you, Mrs. Mark. You don't happen to know where Catherine is, do you? Yeah, I had arranged to have a word with her before lunch.
I think you'll probably find her in the stable yard. She said she was going to have a word with her brother. Nick has, at long last, decided to mend the lorry.
Oh, good.
Hello, Michael. If you're looking for Nick, he's underneath the lorry.
Actually, it was you I came to see. But it's very good of Nick to fix the engine.
No, it's not very good of me at all. Should have done it ages ago. Why can't you say what you mean?
I just came here to have a word with your sister.
Oh, yes. It had slipped my mind completely.
We were having a little chat about our childhood. We spent our childhood together, you know.
Oh, yes. Of course.
I know it's wicked of us to waste our time in idle reminiscence. But you must forgive us since it's our last chance, isn't it, Catherine?
Yes, our last chance.
Well, I'll be off then. Yeah, I can easily see Catherine another time.
All shall be well, and all manner of bloody things shall be well. Isn't that so, Catherine?
Why, yes.
I'll be off then.
Oh, wait a minute. You're always off like a bloody milk by the time it reaches me at the lodge. If you want all manner of things to be well, there's a little service you can perform for me, will you?
Well, certainly, Nick. What is it?
Oh, just get into the lorry and put the gear lever in neutral and release the handbrake.
If that's your idea of a joke, Nick, it is not very funny. And do get out from under that thing. The slope's pretty dangerous anyway, even with the brake on. You ought to have put the lorry sideways.
Well, since you declined to put me out of my misery, I might as well come out.
I finished anyway. It was only a blocked petrol feed. Ah, here comes my understudy. I could have given you a lesson on the petrol feed system, Toby, but it's all over now.
I'm sorry. I didn't realise that's what you were doing.
Mm. Well, let's see if it's done the trick. Catherine, would you mind starting her up?
Sure.
Seems to be okay. I think we'll take her for a little spin. Make sure she's all right.
My sweet sister shall drive.
Oh, you come along too, Toby.
Yes, eh?
How about you, Michael? Would be rather a squeeze, but I expect someone could sit on someone's knee.
No. Thanks. I've got things to do.
Oh, have you indeed? And you'd better do them. Do you mind opening the gate for us?
I think I've worked out how it can be done, Dora.
Super.
Whether we can actually manage it is another matter. I'll try and explain it to you. The new bell is due to arrive at Inver on Thursday morning, and it'll spend the night in the stable yard on a large iron trolley before being taken over to the abbey first thing on Friday morning.
Yes,
I heard Mrs. Mark talking about it. They're going to have Morris dancers and a recorder band and the church choir and all sorts of peculiar things.
Well, on Wednesday night, we're going to try and raise the old bell. There'll be no trouble about taking the tractor. I shall be using it for ploughing up in the pasture all day long. When it's dark, we can take the tractor down the ramp to the water's edge. There's a winch on the back of the tractor.
What's a winch, exactly?
Well, it's a machine for pulling things, Dora. It's got a very powerful engine, and there's a hawser with a big hook on the end.
A hawser?
It's a very strong cable. We'll let the hawser unwind, and I shall swim down into the lake and attach the hook to the ring at the head of the bell. And then we shall try to winch it in.
But that's marvellous, Toby.
Well, it will be marvellous, so long as the hawser doesn't snap.
But where are we going to put the bell once we've got it out?
Ah, well, there's an old barn in the woods, only a few hundred yards beyond the ramp. I've cleaned it out a bit, and I've got rid of the branches and the bushes, so that the tractor can drag the bell up along the path and into the barn.
But what about switching it for the other bell? How are we going to do that?
Well, fortunately, the trolley they're going to put the new bell on has a twin brother. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Mark uses it in the packing shed. We can get that along to the barn, hoist the bell up by pulling the hawser over one of the rafters in the barn, and then lower it onto the trolley.
You're wonderful, Toby. You've thought of everything. I knew you could do it. What time shall we meet?
At midnight. Will you be able to slip away, do you think?
Oh, yes. Paul's always sound asleep by 10:30, and he sleeps like a log. Nothing ever disturbs him.
Okay, then. I'll see you at 12 o'clock, by the top of the ramp. And just pray there'll be a moon.
Toby? Toby, is that you?
Dora?
Oh, thank God. I've been absolutely scared of this. It's so spooky. And there are such funny noises. I kept thinking the drowned nun was after me. What was that?
A sedge warbler. Peter Topcast calls it the poor man's nightingale. Now, come on. We've got work to do.
I think we're completely mad. Why did we ever have this insane idea? Why did you encourage me?
It's too late to worry about that now. The tractor's over there, just outside the barn.
So, what do we do now, Toby?
I want you to stand by, near the water, and do what I tell you.
Yes, of course.
Time to start the tractor up.
What if somebody hears it?
Let's just hope they don't take any notice. I'm going to reverse it very slowly down the ramp. When it's on the edge of the water, you can help me wedge a log under the wheels. We don't want it to be dragged down into the water. And then, once it's safely in position, I'll swim down with the hawser and secure it to the bell.
You're covered in mud. Are you all right?
I'm fine. I've got the hook into the ring of the bell. All we have to do now is to pray the winch will be powerful enough to pull it out of the mud.
I can't believe that someone won't come to see what on earth's going on. What's happening? It's not moving.
Give it time, Dora. Give it time.
The cable's going to snap.
No, it isn't. Look, the drum's starting to turn. It's starting to haul the bell up.
Look. There are muddy bubbles coming up from the bottom.
Do you hear that? It must have reached the foot of the ramp.
It's coming out of the water. It's enormous.
Some kind of monstrous fish. I've never seen anything like it.